This is Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Mitch Tyke. WUWM continues to cover the unfolding events in the wake of the unrest and the uprising that took place following a police shooting on Saturday afternoon. You can find broad-based coverage on WUWM News and at WUWM.com. This morning, we are joined in the studio by Aisha Turner, who's been covering this particular story and others surrounding it for our Precious Lives series. Good morning.
Good morning, Mitch.
Aisha, you spent a pretty busy day yesterday, but you've been pretty busy in the weeks before this. Can you give us some context for, you know, what we ought to know about that took place before any of the things that happened this weekend happened?
I think the big thing to note is that what happened this weekend wasn't an isolated event. Tensions have really been building, certainly over the last week since I've been in the park, but really all summer. There are longstanding tensions with the police in that area, and I think from the police's standpoint, probably longstanding tensions with the community as well. There have been groups that have been organizing in the park to try and keep kids from fighting, to keep them out of trouble, and really part of the impetus behind that is to keep the police out of their business, because the perception from the community is that when things happen, the police respond from almost a harassment standpoint rather than actually trying to kind of get involved and keep the peace. And so it becomes, I think it's just a really tense relationship that we're sort of seeing everywhere throughout the country, but exploded essentially on Saturday night.
Sounds like a vicious circle, basically.
Yeah. I think you have police officers that maybe feel tense in the community for some valid reasons. And then you have people in the community that don't feel like they have gotten response from city officials and feel like every time they have an interaction with law enforcement, it's coming from a perspective where they feel criminalized and they don't necessarily feel understood.
I want to talk a little more about the activities that some organizers had organized to try to, you know, sort of quell the sort of unrest. But before that, the BP station that was at the center of so much media attention when it was burned down over the weekend. There's a reason that the BP station is kind of in the middle of this, right?
Sure. So it sits right at the corner of Sherman and Burleigh, right at the edge of the park. I think it's a place where kids go oftentimes when they need something while they're playing out there. But really since the maybe middle of the summer, the end of June, there was a clash with police officers where kids were throwing rocks at the officers that spilled over into the BP station. Windows were broken at the station. And so that was already a place, a sort of hot button location, if you will. Again, a few weeks later, in the middle of July, there were some kids gathered. According to the people working at the BP station at the time, the crowd of kids was unruly. So they shot a gun in the air. They being the people working at the BP station at the time, shot a gun in the air to disperse the crowd. And so I think the BP station was, in addition, more so than the park maybe, was really the location for a lot of these community tensions that were going on. And so
it's almost
really
a proxy.
Yeah. Yeah. You saw a lot of what's playing out. You see the police present, you see the teens present, and then you see businesses that are also kind of caught in the middle of it. And so this kind of becomes a place where things can take off.
Well, so let's talk about the park, because you said there were people that were actually sort of actively over the summer trying to organize events for kids that would kind of keep them maybe even off the radar screen to police.
Yes. There is a group called Program the Parks. It's run by Vaughn Mays Bang, a community organizer, as well as a group of other volunteers. And they've been in the park since the beginning of June. They started going out because they saw posts on Facebook of police harassing kids in the park and kicking them out of the park in a way that felt threatening. And so they've been going out organizing fish fries, organizing movie nights, organizing picnics as a way of one, giving the kids something to do and just providing activities, and then also being there to kind of be a watchful eye and break fights up before the police even need to get involved. I think a really important dynamic of what they're doing is that latter perspective, because there is this sense that, like, if we can just take care of these kids ourselves as a community, then we don't need to get the police involved, because the police are seen as more of a threatening force there.
So you had a pretty busy day yesterday, to say the least. Where were some of the places that you went, and who were some of the people you talked to? And I guess what were some of the themes that you heard emerging in the hours since the conflagration, if you will, took place?
I started and spent most of my day really right outside of that BP station. And one of the striking things that I noticed, I showed up around noon, was that on the north side of Burleigh Street was mostly Black residents. And on the other side, closer to Sherman Park, was mostly white people. So I went over to try and speak to more community members. And one of the things they were saying was, like, look at all these people over here. They've just come to observe. And there was really a sense of frustration and tension of now that things have unfolded in the way they have in this really dramatic way, that's when people are taking interest. And I think there is, like, a real sense of frustration that, like, when people are struggling, when people don't have jobs, when they're not getting adequate education, there's a sense of feeling disconnected. And there's a lot of money being placed downtown. But now that things have
erupted, is...
Yeah, now that things have erupted, people are interested. And you see that frustration even with Black politicians that would come in, and Black church leaders that would try to come into the community and try to bring people together, as there's this really the sense of, like, this really, maybe it involves you, but it should have involved you a lot sooner than it has.
I gather there's some frustration with how the story has been portrayed in the media as well.
Sure, because I think the media has focused on the violence that's erupted and the buildings that have been damaged, but not really talking about the very real, and I think from my perspective, very valid anger that people feel. You know, things are being phrased as though they're riots, and I think there's been a lot of pushback from community members to say, no, this is an uprising. We couldn't get your attention before, and so now we have. And so I think now the onus is really on the people that are now listening and now paying attention to figure out how to move forward in a way that is effective and not just bringing in more policing.
Well, Ayesha Turner, this will be the focus of tomorrow's Precious Lives, but I thank you for spending some time, and thanks for all your good work on the story.
Sure. Thank you much.
Ayesha Turner is a producer on Precious Lives, a joint production of 371 Productions and WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. You can find more of the story at WUWM.com. And Lake Effect continues in just a moment on WUWM.